7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with you with another amazing Croc podcast. I say amazing because is it that I'm amazing? No. Is it that Angel is amazing? Well, actually, yes. But you know who's really amazing? Our Survivor Thrivers. And I just wanted to welcome you today to our podcast. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Welcome, my friend.
You know what's nice? Because we're now getting even closer to spring. Yes. I don't have to put much lighting in this room because the light is shining through, just like the light will shine through every single person in the Croc Nation. It's good to be here, my friend.
And, you know, it's kind of funny. This is an interesting episode because I call this a filler episode because, you know, we are going to try in 2024 to get some more guests on. Last week, we had a wonderful, wonderful guest, Talaya Dendi, who is a cancer doula and cancer survivor / thriver. It was such an honor to have her on last week. And next week, we have our old friend, Len Berry, coming on with, I think, one of his students to talk about a few articles that they've published. And I thought, you know, all right, let's put something together. And then I thought, you know, this is the beginning of our fourth season of the podcast. And in addition, and Angel, we should have way more fanfare because I just realized that this is our 25-year anniversary.
Yeah. And, you know, when I saw that text that you sent me offline, I was like, wow, you know, it's quarter of a century. It really is.
And do you want to know how this, like today's podcast actually transpired? It's really kind of a funny story. And I would have never thought twice about it unless the story went the way the story went. So one of our Survivor Thrivers and personal friend of mine, Lori, called me in a panic. Maybe last weekend and said, you know, Dr. E, you have to help me out. You know, I'm the incoming president of the Rotary Club up in Monticello. And, you know, the old president didn't set anything up for our meeting on Tuesday. And would you mind filling in for us? And it would be really, really much appreciated. And I thought about it and I said, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, free meal, right? Going up to Monticello, get a free dinner. No, I'm only kidding. But, you know, anything to help out, you know, another service organization. So I accepted. And last Tuesday, and you know how busy I am. So I was putting this freaking presentation together for the Rotarians. And I texted Lori and I say, Lori, on my way. And she texted me and she said, well, that's great, except the meeting is next Tuesday. And I thought to myself, oh, man, how could I make some lemonade here? Because I had this talk ready to go. And the talk really dealt with what Croc is, where Croc was, where Croc is going, and the history of Croc. And then sort of everything just kind of came together. And it was like, wow, fourth season, 25th anniversary. A little bit of a history of Croc, talking a little bit about our the pillars that we build our cathedral on for our Survivor Thrivers. And I thought, what better way between guests to do a quick little homage to the organization, which deserves. And Angel, I know it's really not our style, so it's kind of weird for me to do an episode like this to talk about our organization, because if you notice, and all of our listeners, if you notice, there's a couple things you never hear from us. Number one, you never hear Angel and I brag about our podcast. We never brag about our acts or what we do. And we never want to be recognized. We always want it to be about you guys. And I thought, well, you know what? I love that. And I think we need to continue that because it's really a sign of a very healthy organization when the organizational, leaders really don't care about themselves. They really care about their cause. And but tonight we're going to do a little bragging. And every 25 years, I guess we have that right. I think, Angel, right? I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, you did talk about how, you know, our followers, you know, we feel as if our followers are not as high as we thought we could be at 4 years. However, let me point out something to you and to the Croc Nation. Right now, our podcast downloads are over 9,000. We have made some achievements on this program. We are currently sitting at 7.5. We are surpassed, of course, the 7.5 thousand downloads, which is an achievement in the world of Spreaker, which is / iHeartRadio, which is where we utilize. And we also have reached a platform achievement of over 150 episodes as we're closing in. So, you know, there have been achievements that really we as you just said, don't try to brag about, but, you know, in the podcasting behind the scenes, pull the curtain behind, we have achieved 8 out of the 10 achievements that this platform asks us of. And we are currently 5 out of 18 of the achievements in downloads. So, you know what? I would say that we're up and coming. And like you and I first started when we sat together, we said one thing. We only have to touch one person per episode. So if we're at the 150 mark, and that means we've touched 150 people, guess what, my friend? There's a lot less we could be doing, but we're doing a lot more.
Yeah, well said. That was beautiful. And it's kind of a funny thing because the other thing that's really cool, especially about this year, and I've noticed it in the past when we had a lot more guests and then the last year or so, less so, and now we're getting with the guests, networking with other survivor organizations and thriver organizations or other thrivers and other people who have podcasts and, you know, just networking in that world, it really does also tell us that, you know, we're very appreciated within, you know, even our, you know, what would you say, in our colleagues, our community of people that are out there doing advocacy for our survivor thrivers. So when we were talking to Leia last week, and then she networked me with a Dr. EB, who we'll have on in the future, another, you know, radiation oncologist who's doing a lot of great stuff with survivor thrivers, and get the appreciation from them, and then get invited onto their, onto their podcasts, you know, that's really awesome. So, you know, there are some milestones that we've achieved. Thank you, Angel. And I credit you for that through our Lord. And then number two is I also think that we're appreciated with the people that are our contemporaries, our colleagues. But without further ado, let's talk a little bit about what Citizens Reunited to Overcome Cancer is, what it's all about, how it started. And I know this might be redundant. We've kind of done this before, but we're going to do it again. It's our 25th anniversary.
Right.
So sit back and relax and enjoy it. So I always tell the story, you know, in a doctor or nurse or professional, you know, caregiver, they spend a lot of time. We spend a lot of time learning our craft. And we really spend a lot of time, first of all, in the general schooling, right, in medical school, nursing school. And then from there, we go on to our internship. And from there, we go on to a residency and a fellowship. And from there, you know, you get out there, and even though you're practicing, you really don't know, you know, as they said in the movie, The Jerk, you don't know shit from shinola. And then, you know, over the years, you start, you know, learning and getting experience, and that wetness behind the ear starts drying up, and you start really getting good at what you're doing. And then there's that moment, especially when you're taking care of survivors / thrivers, that you sit there. And my moment was, you know, sitting on the beach and watching my kids, you know, build this sandcastle. And I've told the story a million times, and I guess I'll tell it a million more. But when I saw that, it sort of all kind of came together for me. And I knew at that point that I had to do more than just be great at what I did. I had also to be an advocate, you know, for our survivor thrivers. And then, you know, we would do the Relay for Life. We would have a team from the department, and seeing the power of survivorship. And then we did a podcast on Mary and Beth, you know, the first two CROC members, and that lunch that we had together, and how that, you know, inspired me to try to put an organization together. Because in 1999, when this all started, and we'll have to have Rod put that picture. He did the slideshow for me for the Rotary talk. And there's a picture of me in 1999 giving that first lecture We should put it on as the icon for this episode. You know, what I realized is that there was really nothing in those days. And I'm happy to report that's not the case anymore. But in that first dinner, I'm looking at myself and my hair is dark and I'm wearing a suit and tie, Angel, believe it or
whoa,
not.
Whoa. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in that room. And I can tell you, it was so exciting and so wonderful that I wanted to just share that the last 25 years of being an advocate for survivors/thrivers has been nothing but the greatest joy, one of the greatest honors of my life. And I couldn't have thought of a better way for me to do community service than to do that. Just over the years, because of the fact that what cancer was at the time, cancer was basically diagnosis, treatment, and then oblivion. There was nothing. There were no, international, national organizations except the American Cancer Society. There was definitely no grassroots anything, zero. And because of that, I saw this need. And thanks to Beth and Mary and all the years of doing the Relay for Life and, you know, trying to figure out exactly what it was that I could do. And what my job was to create this organization, Citizens Reunited to Overcome Cancer. And the first 10 years actually was quite interesting because they were the years that no matter how much fun I have with this podcast, they were absolutely the most fun. You know, I was like, you know, literally flesh to flesh with survivors every day. And we had a very active board of directors. And every month we had a vibrant kind of program, whether it was educational, whether it was cultural, whether it was music, whether it was a comedian, whatever, whether it was fundraising or helping each other and just putting 150 people the Elks Club, you know, in Middletown, New York.
Gotcha.
We would fill that room up to the brim. And my dear friend, Seal Rakowski, was our caterer. And she'd be in the back cooking all sorts of food for our survivors. We'd have music. We'd have dancing. We'd have awards. We had costume parties and I couldn't even begin to tell you guys about the tens of thousands of people that we touched in those years. And it was terrific. And then things started changing for the good. More organizations started popping up, more grassroots organizations, more national organizations. Technology started to catch up. We started getting some internet, things for our survivor thrivers. And it just seemed at that point, the ability to keep that momentum for that many years, right? I mean, talk about effort. I mean, those first 10 years of trying to put a program, and we're talking about a big program every month, in addition to a full-time job and raising a bunch of little, kids, you know, that was very difficult. And again, a true honor to do that. I'm not complaining at all. The middle years were a different feel because, you know, once we stopped sort of with the face-to-face stuff, we collaborated with Miriam and with Kathy Rifkin for the Celebrate Life Half Marathon. And our job for those 10 years was to put together, to be the people that reviewed all of the grant applications. So these two ladies and then Kathy left to do her own thing and Miriam kept it up for those 10 years. I don't know exactly how many years she did it, but raised like $1 million for cancer survivors. And we had the good fortune of being able to be the ones that wrote the checks out. So, you know, it's kind of like being given money and told to go give that money away. We were the ones that were giving that money away. And, we had a great board of directors for those 10 years. And I think we also did fantastic work, but it was more behind the scenes. So maybe I needed to catch my breath and just kind of let the lay of the land kind of just evolve. And then, after our association was starting to, things were getting a little stale, And again, any good organization has to evolve. If you don't evolve, you know, then you're going to die. And the evolution took the force, or the form, I should say, of this podcast. And that's kind of when technology came together for us. I met Angel. COVID was just about, I think, probably right starting with COVID, right? Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, well, what better way to sort of get back to the original good time feeling of the first 10 years, but potentially reach more survivors/thrivers through a format of a podcast. And that's sort of what we did. And this is now our fourth season. So as I said, you know, Croc is an organization for survivor thrivers. I always kind of looked at the metaphor that we're a cancer survivor/thriver bus. It's a bus that has resources that you can take when you need them. You can get on the bus. And then when you don't need them, you get off the bus. And it's a, you know, it's like the Harry Potter night bus. It just never stops running. You can get on and off anytime you want. And it's really more than just, now about Hudson Valley, you know, cancer survivorship, you know, grassroots, you know, now it's national and international. And I believe we're number one, like in the Congo or somewhere like in Africa or India. But, you know, people need this, and that's why we're here. And I think, Angel, you would agree. What a great honor to be able to do this.
Absolutely. And just to reiterate a little bit about 20 seconds back. Yeah. Right. When about, I think the fifth or sixth episode, we were recording in your office and we were masked.
Yeah, I remember. That's right. That's correct.
And I remember having to adjust the audio because it was rough. You know,
it was. And what I wanted to end tonight's podcast, I didn't want to make it long. I just wanted to kind of make it short and sweet, but wanted to kind of go through, you know, what I've learned in 25 years as the director of Citizens Reunited to Overcome Cancer. And what I've realized is that you guys are very, very special, and you're special because your disease, unfortunately, has given you that dark mark, that mark of the big C. And it's because it's a very unique disease. It's a disease that is generally not deserved. It's generally a disease that's confounding. It's very capricious. It has a mind of its own, and it's almost as if your body has betrayed you. The treatments for the cure of this disease are very toxic, and many times you carry the side effects of your treatments throughout the rest of your life, and you become diminished in what you were before you were diagnosed. So having resources to manage your survivorship, having information to manage your survivorship, having the support you need to master your survivorship is now our primary goal. And what I've noticed is, despite doing this for our survivor thrivers, when I came up with the four pillars a few years ago, coinciding with the podcast, is that it's really not only about cancer survivorship advocacy. It's about advocacy for all of us who need to utilize our healthcare system. And unfortunately, sooner or later, we're going to have no choice but to enter the system. And Angel, you know better than anyone else, it's broken. It's imperfect. The world of healthcare, my message and observations are based on these four foundational pillars that we're going to talk about. And unfortunately, the healthcare system, at least in our country, is crumbling beneath the weight of a system that is antiquated, it's top heavy, it's biased, and it's completely unsound. And it really needs to be updated. So when we talk about, you know, we have a lot of fun talking about informality, engendering informality, and we talk about how we are trying to get away from the model, or trying to push the model away from the stiff white coat. We did a couple of podcasts recently over the last couple of months about what patients want and their doctors, as opposed to me wearing the jerseys. And I have to tell you, day in and day out, you know, I don't think there's a day, Angel, and think about that. And, you know, I take very little time off, and I come to work, right? I don't have everybody doing my work. I'm in there, you know, knee deep in muck and mire. I don't think there's a day that goes by that somebody doesn't, you know, say thank you, you know, for wearing the jersey or for, you know, making them feel, you know, comfortable or making them feel less stressed or making them feel, making them laugh. And that's kind of what I'm talking about when I say engender informality. Now, of course, who's going to go out there and buy 300 jerseys? Nobody. Who's going to even have the cojones to go wear a jersey to work, you know, and be called doctor? Probably nobody but me. But I will say this, it really has nothing to do with the jersey. It's really about attitude. So when I talk about informality, all I ask for the healthcare system is, you know, stop walking around with this stick up your, you know what, that you're this great freaking doctor from God knows where, Harvard or Yale or wherever. Like, we don't really care. Be a human being. Make the patient feel like you care about them. We've had many podcasts about how to break the ice with when you meet a patient, how you can ask them a little bit about themselves rather than their cancer, how you can get to know them a little bit appropriately, develop a relationship with them, and make them, and look at them. Don't look at your computer all the time. Do what I do. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, read all your charts before someone comes at 7, know who they are, and then do your job. You know, you don't have to look at that computer all the time. You can refer to the computer, but look at your patients. Make them feel that they're like being heard and give them some space. Let them talk. Just this week, we had some amazing stories we heard. Just amazing stuff. And you know, and if you don't ask, you're going to miss all this amazing juice. It's just terrific. Disseminate information. So in the days, in the bad old days, doctors told patients what to do and expected them to do it without explanation, without teaching. Hippocrates is the father of modern medicine. Hippocrates was a teacher. He wanted doctors, physicians to be teachers. When a patient comes in and they have something going on, generally speaking, you're not going to be talking to another doctor who has a disease or who has cancer. You're going to be talking to a farmer, a policeman, a Wall Street broker, a social worker, a kindergarten teacher, an engineer. You're going to be talking to everybody. You're going to be, and none of them know anything about what you're talking about. So you have to explain to them what cancer is, what their cancer is, what their stage is, what their prognosis is, what the treatment options are. And you have to make this, you have to funnel this down to what we did an entire module on, and that's shared decision-making. We don't make decisions anymore. We can't tell people what we think is right. We have to use evidence-based medicine, and we have to make sure that they understand the evidence-based medicine. So together as a team, the decision is made. It's so important to teach your patients, to draw diagrams, to go on the internet, to have an iPad in the room and show them anatomy, show them what's going on, show them what you're concerned about. I saw a lady this week who has this, you know, congenital heart defect, and she has, of course, she had to get left-sided breast cancer. What's underneath her left breast? Her heart. So I had to explain through diagrams, through pictures, through teaching, you know, how we were going to come in with our beams so we could treat her left breast and make her feel comfortable, but not touch her heart because her heart already was damaged. So that's disseminating information. Encouraging approachability. This is kind of like a catch-all pillar because we really do want people to feel that they have access and approachability. You know, that their healthcare team is they're made to feel that they can approach their healthcare team. But it's more than that, because that's when we go to the fourth pillar and we talk about accessibility. But let's talk about approachability. In this model, the broken piece in healthcare is timeliness, efficiency, and excellence. That's completely missing. Patients cannot get, even cancer patients, cannot get set up for a biopsy, even if they have a second head growing out of their neck. They can't get a biopsy for weeks sometimes, or if they need to see a specialist. weeks. They need to have a second opinion, weeks. They need to have a dental extraction, weeks. It could be 4 months before that person who was told they have most likely have a cancer, before they're actually getting started on treatment. And number two is we're not efficient, we're not timely, and there's a lack of excellence. There's a total lack of excellence because there's just there's only so much a person can do when they're just getting bombarded. And I'll use my own practice. You know, it's hard enough to try to practice and then advocate for your patients and try to get them appointments, and then the other doctors don't respond, or they give you the number to the secretary, or in our healthcare system at Garnet, we order an x-ray and then it goes to central scheduling. Then it has to go over to insurance authorization. I mean, there's only so much we could do. I mean, there's only so much that we can control. I give patients my cell phone, and we're going to be talking about accessibility in a minute. But the reason is because if I didn't, they literally wouldn't come to see me for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because my schedule is always full. But is my schedule really full? No, I mean, it's full, but can I fit another? Of course, we're doctors. We're not freaking accountants. I mean, I don't punch a clock. It's like, if I have to stay late and do extra consults, whatever, that's what you do. That's why you went into medicine. You know, if you didn't want to do that, then you should have, you know, should have gotten your CPA, or you should have been something else, you know? You can tell I'm like getting angry, you know, I'm like pissed off. I'm so angry at the system. It's so difficult, so difficult. Last but not least, we'll talk about accessibility. It's another one of my favorites. So accessibility and approachability kind of are brother and sister pillars. So accessibility is exactly what I mentioned. When you are a survivor thriver, you want to make sure you have contact with your healthcare team. You want to know that after hours, after 5 p.m., weekends, nights, middle of the night, that there's someone you could talk to, right? Absolutely. And you don't want to hear, "Hi, I'm covering for Dr. Smith, and I'm sorry, I don't know your case. Sorry, I can't help you. Just come to the office on Monday." The story that, you know, Talia told us about being diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease on a Friday at 4:30 while she was driving home from work, and a nurse told her, "Hey, I'm really sorry to have to drop this on you, but you got cancer. And, you know, maybe you can call the clinic on Monday and see if you can get an appointment." Like, no good. That's no good. Not good. Number one, the doctor should be calling her. Number two is you don't call the patient while they're driving home from work on a Friday night. Number three is you bring the patient in to face-to-face them. Or if you do have to tell them, then be prepared to spend an hour with them or 2 hours or whatever you need to make sure that when you hang up, that they're good, right? So Talia had to pull over, had to go into the nearest store that she was near, which happened to be, I think, a TJ Maxx. And she's walking around TJ Maxx like a zombie because she was just told by a nurse that she had cancer, and she didn't have anyone to talk to until Monday. And she tried to avoid her family the entire weekend because she didn't want to put that on them. I mean, this is a broken system. So just to recapitulate quickly, engender informality, disseminate information, encourage approachability, demand accessibility. That's what we're all about here at Croc. That's what we're trying to provide you guys on this podcast. Every week, there's some version of this. You know, it might be not immediately identifiable, but believe me when I tell you, every single podcast, and Angel, we're probably going to be over 200 soon, 200 podcasts, and every single podcast relates back to our four pillars. Angel, 25 years doing this, 3 incarnations of Croc. You came on board with the podcast. Your thoughts, you always get the final word.
You know, I'm sitting here as you're talking about anytime you reiterate things, it's always like I've heard it for the first time. But I'm sitting here and I'm looking, literally looking at where we stand. And for those of you that don't know about the Croc podcast, let's just say hypothetically, this is your first episode. Let's say that you've been with our journey for the 3.5 years or even 2 years. There are so many different episodes out there. There's so many different modules. I'm looking at the top 10 right now in just the last 12 months. You know, episodes like The Nuclear Power of Survivorship, Crowd Distraction, The Nuclear Power of Survivorship, Comrades in Arms, Putting It All Together, Continued, Finding Your Center, To Breathe or Not to Breathe, That Is the Question. Next Generation of Oncologists Should Be What We Worry About. What we should be worried? You know, Prior Authorizations, Confessions. I mean, there's endless amounts of opportunity for you to take advantage and listen to what Dr. E has put together. And really, it's for everyone. And I just hope and I pray that we are here for a very long time. I know we will be, but I mean, you know, as far as putting this, you know, there's just so much data, you know what I mean, Dr. E? There's so much data that let's hope that these doctors do find a way to say, you know what? He's right. And it's not about being right or wrong, but just humbling themselves and putting the egos, you know, in check and putting that ego to the door and say, you know what? I should stay an extra hour. If we can get one doctor, Dr. E, one doctor to say that, again, we've done our job.
Well said. So we will end our podcast as we end all of our podcasts with a brief little pep talk, and then we will go to our blessing. So the pep talk today I have is about every single person who has volunteered for Citizens Reunited to Overcome Cancer over the last 25 years, all of the people who put their heart and their soul and their blood into this organization, all of the hours you guys have put, the Little Rascals who are our first board of directors, how wonderful and amazing these survivors were and what they've done for other survivors come to mind. Miriam Lohr, Kathy Rifkin, for the $1 million plus that they raised for survivors to get healthcare benefit costs reduced or paid for all the wonderful people that we've honored over the years, for all of the people who came to our dinners, who came to our lectures, who came to our meetings, to every single person who has been a speaker for us, who has given their solidity for their information, their expertise for the behalf of the cancer survivor thrivers, for all the field trips we've done, for all the laughters, all the tears that we have shared. You know, this pep talk is for you guys. What I said in the beginning of the podcast, I mean immensely. Even though we did a little bragging today, you won't hear that ever again, probably for the next 25 years. This podcast is about you guys. It's about the survivor thriver. It is my hope that I am blessed with good health for another 25 years to be able to advocate for you. Because if I am given that good health from our dear Lord and Creator, then you can guarantee that every Monday, every Sunday morning, you'll be able to hear something new and something that hopefully will be helpful in your survivorship. And again, ending with our blessing. On behalf of Angel Santana, the entire board of directors, and all of the board directors before, now, and in the future, we wish you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God be with you. God bless you. Peace. We'll see you next week.